Blog Talk Radio.
There had been a nightmare on my street.
Everyone, and welcome to Headliners Ball.
This show's format gives both authors and audience alike the chance to entertain a deeper discussion regarding a choice selection of poems from the author's catalog of work. Headliners will perform pieces in their intended style. In turn, we will receive encouraging feedback from an all-inclusive panel of late-night poet callers. Additionally, there will be a chance for listeners to inquire about intended meaning, inspiration, nuance, poetic device, and any other interesting details that the author is willing to expand upon. My name is Jeremy F., your host, and as always, I am joined by my beautiful, lovely, talented co-host, Pam Ray, and she's going to kill me, but we all know that she has her time in the limelight. In fact, she grew up next to the famed author Mary Shelley, and they exchanged ideas all the time. Now, as we know, Mary Shelley was famous for writing, authoring all of the Frankenstein novels. But when you think about it, some years later in 19, whenever it was, when The Bride of Frankenstein was filmed, it was not only Boris Karloff and Elsa Lanchester, but Pam Ray was sitting side set on the director's seat. So, Pam, here's to you on Halloween week. How are you, my dear?
Oh, I am doing great. Looking forward to hanging out with you and our guests and delving into their poetry. It's going to be an awesome night.
We have a special duo for this Halloween week that was requested months ago by our chancellor, Fill My Eyes. She said, you have got to have these two together on Halloween week. So I am excited to introduce them both. Who do we have, Pam?
We have Stelina and Arcana, both with us.
Right.
Hi, everyone.
Hi,
everyone. Stelina, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How's everyone?
We're excited to talk to you tonight. And Arcana, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, thanks, Jeremy. Can you all hear me okay?
We can, we can, we can.
Can hear you loud and clear.
Hi, Stelina. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, darling.
Hi, Pam.
Hello.
Now these two, Pam, if I'm not mistaken, these two are such peas in a pod, they kind of want to bounce back and forth, so the interview process is going to be more of a collaborative all-in-one family session. So I can't wait to try out the new format, but I know these two are not going to disappoint. To prove it, and to prove their enthusiasm, they have given us so many SoundClouds that I don't think we're going to get to do any talking tonight. I think it's all going to be their original voices on these poems from some performed work. I'm trying to get set up here as I'm talking. I think the first one from Stelina is up and ready, and I think we have a SoundCloud for it, Pam, so whenever you're ready.
Okay, what would really help me in this particular case with having so many SoundClouds is if you would say the name of the right, because I can't be on two pages at once. So, like, when I'm looking at the studio, I can't see what you've posted.
Okay. Hollow Victory is the first one. And, yeah, we can definitely do that as we go down.
All right. So what is the first right?
Hollow Victory.
Okay. Give me a moment, because there's a lot to go through. Must be here somewhere.
Well, and if we're gonna have pauses, Pam, I mean that opens it up for you to sing. You know how I love it when, you, especially on a Halloween week.
Yeah, come on, Pam.
Oh.
Give us a tune.
All
you
right,
can rap if you like.
Marching forward, boots soddened with cloying mud, advancing on the enemy we trudge through human debris as our comrades fall one by one in stagnating blood. Abandoned, there is no time our lost to bury. The night grows dim, a spectral ochre shadow seeps. Putrid and pungent, it peels skin and sears lungs, and from tender, terrified lads, all reason it reaps, while they babble silently with burned throats and tongues. Bayonets draining life from our fearsome foe, we purposely evade the weeping, pleading eyes of boys just like ours, whom we will never know, to quell the remorse which threatens to arise. Dropping into a trench, corpses cushioning our fall, closing our eyes, we cling to pictures in our heads of hearth and home, struggling to make sense of it all. Yet, no answers are forthcoming from the watchful half-dead.
Wow.
Ooh, an ominous start to a wonderful Halloween evening. Pam, share some of the comments, please.
Oh, absolutely. This is an epic dark ride. It really packs a punch with its emotive lines. You know, I think the title says so much, Hollow Victory. You know, the loss that comes, that, you know, the price that comes at victory. I really like the imagery of the night grows dim, a spectral ochre, shadow sea, putrid and pungent. It peels skin and sears lungs. The fact that you went into the chemical warfare within that stanza, I thought was really great. Now, I think for this particular rite, and this was actually something that was on my mind when I was reading through your rites, is I did notice you put up at least, I think it was 3 to 4 war poems, and even in your own AN, you put yet another war poem. So I'd like to know, what is it about the topic of war, the topic of battle, that particularly appeals to you, that draws you to it?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Wilfred Owen and his poetry. Years ago, when I was studying, you know, we had to, Wilfred Owen was one of the poets that we had to study during the course. And, you know, he died, he was only 25 when he died. And his work for me was immense. He captured war and the horrors of war so succinctly, and you know, with his fantastic imagery. And I was just smitten by this genre. Sorry, you'll have to forgive me tonight. I've got a little and I'm a bit breathless. You know, it was that reel which started my interest in war poetry. I mean, Wilfred Owen isn't the only one. Of course, there's also Ted Hughes and you know, many others. But Wilfred Owen really inspired me a lot. And I've written about 4 or 5 war pieces. I think we have another one tonight, too. So, yeah, that's the reason, really.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a wonderful answer. And no, I never went into battle. I had one brief year in ROTC. I had one brief year in ROTC, and I knew that it wasn't for me. But yeah, I can't think of a greater hell. And I really like how,
yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about something that's if we're talking about a scary week, if we're talking about the worst fears you can have, I mean,
yeah,
there is no greater outpour of emotion, fear, trust. I mean, war to me embodies everything, right? It embodies
yeah.
a whole spectrum of emotion because of what you're going through. But the most underlying fear, the most underlying grip of it all has to be the fear, has to be the hell, has to be
of course.
The atrocities.
Yeah. And I think in this poem, I tried to show also that, you know, they were in a position where they had to kill young men like themselves, men that they didn't know, men who came from homes like themselves, had families like themselves. And this is why it was really a hollow victory, because nobody really wins with war.
No.
And
no,
that
I love
hence the title.
No, I love how you put that. And it's not a normal intuitive nature to kill. So I think it's pushing people to an extreme
exactly.
that they're not ready to go to. So wonderful capture with your imagination. I think this is perfect.
Thank you very much.
And my question, and I kind of, because Pam, they're going to want to bounce back and forth. They're going to want to mess with our format tonight. So I kind of want to. I want to have Selena and Arcana.
We like sharing things up.
That's fine. You guys are attached at the hip, and I love it. So I want to give you both a chance to kind of weigh in on – I want to ask you a personal question right out of the bat. What is your friendship? What is your tag team? How do you rely on each other? And I'll start with you, Selena. What does it mean to have such a close friend in all poetry? And what does Arcana – what does your connection mean to you?
You know, we met through a contest. I mean, how it usually happens, you know, I mean, Arcana entered a wonderful poem in one of my contests and for which I gave him gold, obviously. and you know, I was so impressed by his writing that that's how it all began. We seemed to be on the same page regarding poetry and language and etc. And of course, over the months, maybe 8 or 9 months now, I don't know, you know, during collaboration and our chats, which we have quite regularly, we've got to know each other a little personally as well. And, you know, for me, he is really a fantastic partner because he has absolutely no ego when you're writing with him. He never pushes himself forward. He always accepts a discussion on we're writing. You know, and he's a very sweet, kind guy too. And, you know, he's helped me not just with poetry, but with other things too. And, you know, I think we just click. I mean, this is how friendships happen sometimes, whether it's woman-woman, man-man, whatever. Doesn't really matter. You know, we clicked and hopefully we'll continue to be friends. I hope so for some time to come and write more great poetry for you to read.
No, and that's a great answer. That is the essence of it. And I love that.
Yeah.
Because I think this is a special community. We pull together when we need to, we share when we need to, and we connect in a really cool way. So, Arcana, I'll give you a chance to kind of weigh in too. I mean, what are you finding in your friendships? I mean, you guys, again, are attached at the hip, and what does it mean to you to have such a cool connection with a friend like this on All Poetry?
The five is in the post, Delina. I think that really what's happened here is we've just connected. And from starting to write together, we've kind of found that we share a lot of common ground, both artistically and in ideas. And of all the people that I've written with, I do find that Stelina is so easy to sort of get along with and write with. I think it's born from mutual respect that we have for each other and our art. And that there's always this give and take between us where somebody will drop a line or a stanza and we'll discuss it and say, yeah, that's great. I mean, what about this bit or this word, you know, as an alternative, maybe, you know, do you prefer the original or do you like this? And we kind of just bounce off each other that way, each of us in turn, and it just works. And like I say, because of the mutual respect we have, we have no disagreements. We never sort of have to battle over who's right or who's wrong. It just flows naturally, and that's a wonderful thing.
Well,
I agree.
The jealous in me is going to try to destroy every beautiful thing that you both have said that you created.
That's
good
fine.
Luck with that,
Jeremy. Yeah, good luck. It's not going to work.
No, I mean, that's really cool. I mean, that's what it's all about. And the fact that you guys have found this medium, this art form to connect on is something that I think all of us try to achieve. So I just wanted to get that out there so everyone understands what kind of cool connection you two have and why we're switching up the format tonight. So it's beautiful. I think it's very cool. And in all seriousness, I am envious because you always want someone to bounce those ideas off of and to better yourself through it. So I like how you both express that.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, when we write individual pieces, we do it. You know, I'll say, I've written this, do you think? And he does the same. It's not just with collaboration, you know? So it's great.
Absolutely. No, I love it. I think it's very cool. So, Pam, we've got the next one up. This one's by Arcana Moore. It's The Haunted Palace is the name of the SoundCloud.
All right. Well, before I push play, I would like to welcome Naomi to the show. So welcome, Naomi. Glad you could join us.
Hi, Naomi.
Hi, Naomi.
Hello, guys. I just had to phone in when I knew it was the two of you.
Oh,
so
you're
my love,
you.
Give my respect for your work. And I can't stay for the whole show because I took sleeping meds and I'll probably be drowsing.
We'll hear story then.
But I'll stay for a little, about 20 minutes maybe.
No, great.
So,
okay, that's great.
Sounds good. All right, I'll go ahead and push play. Here we go.
Of seeping shadows that fall unseen, mid crumbled halls through walls between, where spectres creep with glowing eyes, from moans and groans quaff deathly sighs. For though these spirits have met their end, from realms of ghosts they doth descend, which e'er best known dwells drowning mist, neath heaven's stairs the reaper kissed. Within this palace that once stood proud, hark-tortured wails cry out aloud, whence royalty reigned upon this throne, but sank in sorrow to rule alone. For the queen saw plague possess her king, from rest he rules where death knells ring. In veils of sorrow her tears wept sadly, as torn asunder she shed life gladly. With fleeting sip of poisoned chalice, unto death she fled from her empty palace, ne'er to taste loneliness evermore, from her regal realm of mortal lore. Now each floats forlorn, divided in death, nevermore able to draw each breath. How they yearn and embrace to share once more, knock, knock, knocking each palace door. Beyond the grave they seek to speak, within dank coffins that crack and creak, in search of the face so long to see, to make it so and let it be. Now empty ruins tumble and fall apart, mid fading echoes that ghosts impart. A silent stillness speaks whispers in taunts to sorrowful spirits whose heartache haunts.
It's so good. Wonderful performance, wonderful SoundCloud. Naomi, you are our guest, so you can start us off.
Yeah, you know, both of you, your SoundClouds are over the top. You know, Arcana, I'm just always amazed, you know, the pace at which you read, just that you really pronounce each word. And you just take us along on a journey, you know, into your sublime darkness, and you know, your amazing play on words every time. And you know, I can't recite a part. I like the knock knock knocking, that part. But my computer's not open because I just phoned in real fast. But, I always love your SoundClouds, and the tales that you come up with are just stunning, spectacular, just amazing.
Thank you, Naomi.
Great comment. Pam, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a wonderful, dark story. You know, it's got just wonderful imagery. I really like that you delve into the idea of the haunted palace and make that in itself a character in this poetic story. I really like within this palace that once stood proud, hark, tortured wail, cry out aloud, whence royalty reigned upon this throne, but sank in sorrow to rule alone. Now, obviously, I think to many people, you're very well known for your use of rhyme and alliteration, especially alliteration. So my question to you is, what is it about alliteration that so much appeals to you? And what other poetic devices do you appreciate and enjoy using?
Okay. I think the thing is, when I first started writing poetry, everything I wrote was rhyme. I remember going to my first open mic session where I read a piece of rhyming poetry, and the person, one of the people that was organizing it, sort of said to me at the end, they said, you know, rhyming poetry is a lazy way of doing things. You really want to get into writing free verse. And around that time, I'd made friends with Clay Lowe, who's an American poet, and he'd just released his first book, and we were both working in the same place together, and he was giving me a bit of advice. And try as I may, I just couldn't kind of get into writing free verse. And it took me ages to try and find a technique for writing it. And I think what happened is, when I started writing in free verse, I kind of found a way of compensating for the rhymes was by using alliteration. And it's not like it was always a conscious thing. It's just sort of like happened that way. You know, as I'm writing a line, I'd sort of end with a word that starts with a certain letter. And I'd think, yeah, I want something else that starts with that letter that sort of like just rounds that line off nicely. And it just kind of went from there. And it's not a conscious thing. It just sort of happens. And sometimes it gets to be a bit annoying because it can be too much if you're not careful. There's a happy medium to be struck where you're not overdoing it. And I'm kind of working on that at the moment.
I like that. I like that. Very cool answer.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I would have to disagree. Well, first of all, yeah, no, I love the poem. I think it's, and you're going to hear this out of me probably 50 times tonight. You are so incredibly Poe that it outdoes Poe. And the beauty about Poe is he's dark, and he gets you to that point without even realizing that you're getting into that dark point. So if I was to compare you to anybody, that's what shouted to me as I became more introduced to your work is, and it's not just the fact that you did the repetition that Naomi picked up was the knock, 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 or it's not the fact that you even said the word evermore, but it was hitting me in the fact that you did that alliteration. You have those poetic devices, and I love the fact that Pam asked you that question to start out, because I totally disagree with that advice that person gave you. rhyming is not the lazy way. I mean,
me too.
when I was I grew up designing, right? And I always thought symmetry was a lazy man's way to do any kind of design. But it's not. There's an art. It's not easy to do rhyme. It's not easy to do rhyme to make it comfortable and the way that you do it, Arcana, because it's an art in itself. And I would say that I would go the other way. I'd say it's lazy to do free verse because anyone can write down words.
Mm-hmm.
But to plot
yeah.
and plan and march words, and again to what Naomi said about how you read your words and how you did your performance, it's something that's crafted and it's intentional and it's felt. And because of that, the emotion that you're trying to convey is that much more intensified. So I got to say bravo to you 100% on that. I mean, I think it's amazing on how this poem hit us, and I love that it's on this dark week. I love the fact that it hits us, and I love the fact that it opens our eyes to say, you know what, you can do beauty and you can do scary at the same time. So I like the fact that we have you two, and I like the fact that you have this gift in doing it so punctuated, I guess, is my comment. So
thank you, my friend.
Absolutely. And so my question again, I'm going to try to hit you both up simultaneously because I know you both are so connected. Arcana, first, what is your draw to scary poetry? Why would you choose that as a genre?
Okay, well, firstly, the poem that you just heard was written for one of Stellina's contests, and what she did with that contest was she was looking for kind of Poe-esque type rites. So she'd given titles to some of Poe's work to actually use as the prompt to write the poem to, which is, you know, I'm really flattered that you sort of picked up on that, Jeremy, and you know, thank you very much for that. You know, to even have my name mentioned in the same breath as Poe is beyond amazing to me. As far as the genre goes, I mean, I've always kind of been into dark stuff. I just love the whole Hammer horror genre and all that kind of thing. So it just kind of sticks with me. And as far as poets go, I'm not well read on other poets, I must admit. But there are certain bits and pieces I've read from some. Poe... among them, and you know he's like a hero of mine, so it just comes that way that I feel that when I'm writing I tried in this piece to kind of get that kind of feel. So you know, it's a big compliment to me that you've actually picked up on that. Thank you.
Of course, my friend, of course. And your turn, Selena, tell me about why you're drawn to to darker poetry, the scary genre.
Okay, well, it's sort of a similar type of answer, really. I mean, I've always been into the sort of the horror, you know, the Hammer horrors as well, and the dark films and dark stories. Even from a very young age, you know, I was attracted to these things. I mean, I love vampires. I love them. And you know, and so it goes with the territory, so to speak. I mean, I do try to vary my stuff a lot, but you know, eventually I get back to the dark corner somehow. And it's just, I think it's just part of me, you know. I have a dark side, like everyone, but you know, I do embrace mine. Like not many people do. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to embrace your dark side. I think it's good and healthy to get it out. And poetry for me is one way of getting it out. So, yeah, pretty much a similar answer, really.
And it's a great answer because I think, and we've touched on this, and Pam can attest that a lot of people talk about when they write, when we ask these questions, we do these interviews about how cathartic poetry is for people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we all do have a dark side, Selena. We all do. And you can say any part of any kind of character that we all have, and it's what you choose to celebrate and how you get it out and how you how you dance at the, during the bonfire. Mm. I don't know how to put it, but I like that. I really like your answer. I mean, if you can celebrate whatever part of your personality you want to through poetry, and you can create whatever kind of personality you want. And I think I think you both do it magnificently. I think I love
Thank
having you.
You
both here on Halloween week because you guys do dark in a very cool way. You do it professionally. And
we do dark. We do.
Well, your next one is up, Pam. It's called Doors of Destiny, and I believe this one's a collab, Ooh. But it does have a SoundCloud.
When is this supposed to start?
Where somber shadows sigh, the sunlight shivers in dank demise. There lies concealed seven doors, all sealed in caliginous chasms that caress curiosity. As deep inside this dark domain is delved. Venturing tentatively towards the source of beguile, footsteps warily wade towards the first door, opening it amid creaking groans of aged abandon, to reveal an empty chamber that echoes with screams. The walls as red, blood-stained rubies. With hesitant heart she tarries, loath to unlock more, for fear of what unearthly horrors lurk within. Yet compelled to continue, she opens the second door, silently proceeding through swirling spectral mists in which sorrowful souls swoop with melancholy moans. Door three invites eager intrigue to be opened as she dubiously enters the oak-latched door, stepping into a tunnel of immense spiderwebs, beckoning entrapment to some forlorn fate amid scurrying sounds that seep from shadows. She unlocks door four, trudging through brittle bones, crunching and crumbling to dust beneath her tread, with a putrid stench of decay assaulting her senses. Her flaming torch illumines Tartarian tools of torture, dismembered limbs swathed in scarlet, sodden shrouds. The Chamber of Horrors besieges her bravery, approaching with caution towards door five, wherein she enters a gloomy graveyard among empty coffins that await their intended, amid willowy whispers that bite through the breeze. Hissing heinously as they slither around room six, bestial basilisks devour pulsating flesh, writhing in agony. Yellow eyes greedily gleaming,
water tongue flicking. Coiling around her ankles, she scorches them with the flame. Her breath rasps as she steals herself before the final door. Summoning forth fortitude to fight with her fears, she pulls open the final door with fervor, revealing herself draped upon her bed at home, wrists flowing crimson as her life ebbs away, awakening from nightmares as she descends into hell.
You guys are too good at this.
I thought it was you laughing then, Jeremy.
It's so much fun to listen to. It's so much fun to see how you guys perform this. I mean, shit. All I could say is shit. It's just perfect. And the fact that it's a collab makes it all the better, okay? In all seriousness, it has everything that horror needs to be. Outside of the performance, where I think, Selena, the performance is spot on. It's everything
Thank
the name
you.
Has said in the last one that Arcana did about the intent and the pacing and the buildup and the fright factor. It exists in this. I mean, I want to package this and sell it because it's so good in what it does.
I had to mix 10. I had to mix 10 audio tracks to make that.
The effort pays dividends.
Yeah.
Because my SoundClouds are bullshit, and I mean, and anytime that someone pays that much attention, first of all, the art of writing poetry is its own genre, right? It's its own medium. But the fact that you take that and then can perform it as well takes it to a whole other level. I mean, for me, I enjoy it. I giggle. Even though this is dark and disturbing and ugly and all the sentiment of it is scary, but I'm smiling the whole way because I can tell you're enjoying doing it.
Oh, yes.
And any effort that you put into 10 SoundClouds, 50 SoundClouds, whatever it takes, it pays dividends because this is beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful in its horror.
Thank you.
And the fact that – and I loved, again, what Pam asked in the last question. Alliteration is my favorite. Next to assonance, alliteration is just awesome. I love words that start with the same letter and do that punch through. But the fact that this is a collaboration, and my collaborations in the past have always been difficult for me to swallow, but I can't see the breaks. I can't see where one of you starts and the other one ends. So can you tell me a little bit about the process? When you two are coming together on a poem like this, who's zooming who here? Where's the difference between you two?
Do you want me to answer that, or do you want to answer it, Stel?
Did we lose her?
Okay, I know she's been having some problems with her internet. Are you there, Stelina? You're breaking up.
Arcana, you get to go first. Tell me about the process.
Okay. So, Stelina wanted to write a collab for a contest, and we were kind of trying to think of ideas for what to write about. Now, Stelina is very fond of classic poetry, opera music, you name it. She's got some great taste. And as an idea, she floated past me the idea of an opera that she heard, which was about Bluebeard. Now, when I heard Bluebeard, I thought, what the hell? Are we writing a club about a pirate? And she goes, no, it's not a pirate. She said, it's a story about this guy, and she'll tell you better than I can what the nature of the opera is. But suffice to say, the moment she said something about seven rooms, I thought, hey, that sounds kind of cool. I says, why don't we work on that? why don't we just take that somewhere else? And that's what we did. We kind of went from there. But it was initially Delina's idea. And then from there on, it just took a breath of its own.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can. Go ahead. Continue.
Okay. It's telling me that I'm connected. I mean,
we got you back, Stelina.
Yes, I'm back, like the Terminator. Right. So, just to add to what Arcane has just said. I don't think it was for a contest originally. I think what happened was when you asked us to come on the show, we sort of didn't we decide to write something for it? I can't remember.
You could be right.
It doesn't matter really. Anyway, so the story of Bluebeard. They did make an opera from it. It was a sort of a legend. It wasn't about a pirate, obviously. It was about the opera story is about this guy who has had several wives. And he takes a new young wife to his house, and he has locked doors, and she wants them open to let the light in. And she persuades him, and they're open, and she's not sort of happy with what she finds. So, it sort of sprang from that idea, yeah. Originally, I wanted to write about Bluebeard, but I think Arcana had the idea that he was either a pirate or a sort of some kind of lecherous guy. So we sort of went our own way with it, yeah. That's exactly
Arr, me hardy.
Yeah, no. We haven't done a pirate piece yet. We haven't done a pirate piece yet.
I love it. Naomi, did we catch you before you signed off? Is she still with us, or did she already sign off, Pam?
Naomi, I believe she's still with us. Oh, no, she did drop. I apologize. Yes, she did drop.
Yeah, she just wrote a note that she might be going to bed. All right, your comments, Pam. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I really like this. I think it is very awesome. I love that you had the idea that this is such a seamless collaboration. Powerful imagery, the idea of going through the different rooms and this story of this young woman who has this courage to face these different rooms, and just a wonderful write all the way through. And what I particularly like is something I've mentioned before about poetry is when people create an atmosphere by not only using imagery, but bringing in sounds and scents. Like, crunching and putrid stench of decay. Because I really feel like a lot of times you limit yourself when you only show people what they can see in a poem. Rather, you have to bring in all the senses. And I'm going to trail a little bit since this is a Halloween special. And I'm going to ask a question that doesn't have to do with poetry, or it might, I don't know, who knows. But anyways, what I would like to know, now I know that Halloween is more popular in the United States than the United Kingdom and other countries, but either Halloween or any other event where you haven't had a chance to dress up in a costume, what was your absolute favorite costume you've ever worn? And we'll start with Stelina and then go to Arcana.
So I think we'd better keep this clean, yeah? no, I'm not going there. Right. So
just think of that four-poster bed, Stelina.
Yeah, just crossing.
Well, it is an after midnight show, so you can go where you want.
No, he's bought a four-poster bed and I said to him, oh, yeah, I could imagine Armand from, Interview with a Vampire wafting into the room with the bed. So anyway, that's just a little joke. But anyway, apart from Halloween, various fancy dress, New Year's things and, if you want the clean version, that's it. But nothing really. I mean, I'm not into, you know, going to big conventions for dressing up or anything like that. Not yet, anyway. We'll see.
There you go. All right. Cool. And how about you, Arcana?
He's always dressing up.
Yeah, you just put the words out of my lips. To be honest with you, I guess by a lot of people's tastes, every day's Halloween to me, the way I dress. you know, I often see people sort of like kind of giving me a wide berth at night when I'm out and about in the shadows, you know. But hey.
They don't know he's a pussycat, really.
It's just my taste, you know. I'm just into that. I've always been into kind of the goth thing. So, you know, I've just stuck with it. And if you saw me out and about, you'd understand what I mean. So Halloween to me is just another day. It's just a day when I don't get so many sideways glances because everybody else is trying to dress up. I blend in.
Very cool. Very cool. Awesome answer.
Great question too, Pam. Right in the spirit of the evening. So the next poem, Without Your Love, by Arcana Moore, is up. If you can pull it up, please, Pam.
All right, here we go.
What potions have I drunk of siren tears that stir such restless waves of longing, reaching deeply inside this aching heart to crash against my beating breast? Eternity beckons within your eyes to see beyond those starry skies that shimmer above such heavenly lips, in craving quests for a sweetened kiss. My world revolves your sunlit smile that joyously spins silk serenades, awakened within your warm embrace to echo through dreams on velvet clouds. Light my flame with showers of splendor that kindles my soul with gleaming grace. Share a caress with undying devotion to bathe my shores in your glorious glow. Should fate e'er cleave your radiance asunder, to ne'er feel the balm of your tender touch, I shall dwell in a hell of empty darkness, for without your love, life shines nevermore.
Pam, start us off, please.
All right. Well, I have to say, as a compliment to both Stelina and Arcana, that both of them have wonderful production of their sound clouds with choices of background music and making sure that neither the reading or the background music overwhelm each other. I really like that this one went with more of an emotional darkness, a sadness, the idea of living without somebody, without their love. I really like eternity beckons within your eyes to see beyond those starry skies that shimmer above such heavenly lips and craving quests for a sweetened kiss. So I thought this had a beautiful classic feel to it. I think Well, what I would like to know is, because obviously you do write some romantic poetry, you do write quite a bit of dark poetry, and a lot of that stems from your imagination or also, you know, from prompts and contests. But what things in your life or parts of your life, whether it's, you know, music or, you know, books you read or what else is inspiration for your poetry?
I kind of think a lot of it might be subliminal, because as you go through life, certain things kind of impact on you and they kind of lay dormant in the back of your mind. And you're not always consciously thinking about them. But sometimes especially when you start to express yourself through something like poetry and you start writing, you kind of tend to unlock some of those doors inside your mind with those memories hidden away inside, and it all starts to pour out. So a lot of it may not necessarily be stuff that I've heard, read, or seen. A lot of it might actually be stuff that I've experienced myself in person. So there's kind of this blend, if you like, of all those things together that just sort of spill out as I start to write.
Very cool.
No, and an interesting answer, because I understand that. I really like that, because you don't know for me. I don't know until I know, right? I don't know until that piece is complete and I'm satisfied with it, that it even existed. So I like that you're pulling this from a place that might not be discovered or might not be obvious to you when you start the journey. What was really, I liked a number of things what Pam brought up in this one. First of all, if I took this whole poem and just sliced off the last stanza, it's a love poem. It's very sensual. And I wouldn't have put this in tonight's show until you made that turn at the end. I mean, take out your performance, take out the music behind the background, but it's amazing to me that you can take something that's sensual and then turn it just by a little half turn of the doorknob, you can make that creepy factor bring shivers up your spine. You know what I mean? And I think you do it in a very – you do it with just that – and that's all it takes, right? You don't need to bang on the door. Sorry for the metaphor. You don't need to kick on the door and bang on it and scream bloody murder. All you need to do is that little half turn at the end, and you get such a chilling effect that it works so well. But it's funny how much – it's not funny. It's amazing how much you can take something that's beautiful and something that's about passion through the body, the bulk of this work. And again, you twist the doorknob, and all of a sudden the hairs are standing up. So bravo. I loved every part of this poem for that. For that little twist, and it fits in with the whole body of what we're talking about tonight.
Thank you.
Something that Pam talked about that I want to ask you both. I've already told you, Stelena, that I love your production value that you put into this. Mm-hmm. And Pam kind of hinted to it with you, Arcana. I'll start with you. The influence of music, because we don't talk about it enough with poetry. And you guys have these beautiful background songs, these beautiful background melodies, the tone setting to your production value. So can you talk a little bit more about how music plays into your writing process, Arcana, or what it does for your artwork?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think what it is you touched on it yourself earlier, Jeremy. When you're performing, if you like, a piece of poetry. I mean, you could just read it, you could do it a cappella, but to just sort of like try and create more of an atmosphere, I think that music is an important part that sort of adds to the art form and makes it, well, gives it a greater impact and creates more of an atmosphere for it. So also it's a hell of a lot of fun going through, you know, everything, looking for something that you think is going to fit in with that particular piece of poetry. And then when you sort of make the SoundCloud, trying to sort of get the rhythm of the speech and everything to fit in with the music. And it just makes the whole thing that much more fun, to be fair. And music to me is always played a big part in my life. I love music and I've got quite a broad spectrum of taste. And, you know, it's just something that comes naturally when putting a SoundCloud together. So, and I know Stelina feels the same way, and she's exactly the same as me. She's very particular about the music that she chooses to go with her SoundClouds, and she takes a lot of time and trouble to get it right, and she does a brilliant job as well. So, you know, hats off to Stelina, and that's the reason I tend to use music, because I just think it has more of an impact.
I love it. No, Stelina, weigh in. What do you think about music and how it plays into your artwork?
Well, first of all, thank you, sir, for your comment. And,
you're welcome.
And, yeah, but, you know, music is my passion. It's my first love. I love music. Everything from classical. I adore opera very, very much. I'm really into opera. I love, you know, more modern contemporary music. You know, I can be listening to, for example, Nirvana one moment and Mozart the next moment. So it doesn't, you know, music's very, very important to me. And when I write a piece, when I want to make a SoundCloud, I have to find a piece that matches what is in my imagination at the time. You know, it has to go with the words that I've written, and it is very time consuming. You know, as Arcana says, you're going through, you know, lots of YouTube videos, and then you have to make an MP3, and then you have to do, so it does take a long time, but the end result is worth it, I think, because when you listen back to it and everything gels, you know, and it just feels so great. And yeah, in fact, I introduced Arcana to opera. So, you know, I'm working on him.
What were we listening to the other night, Stelina?
I forgot. I sent you
John
so
Lydon.
Stuff.
John Lydon, also known as Johnny Rotten, I sent to you.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So we have
when
opera
I said
versus
I've got a
punk.
I've got a very eclectic taste. You know, I'll listen to, as long as it has notes, I'll listen. That's me, you know. I mean, I play piano. I play a couple of instruments. I sing. Well, I used to sing. The old voice is not as good as it used to be, but, you know.
Oh, it is.
No, it really isn't.
It is. Don't put yourself down. It is.
No, it's okay now, but, I mean, I used to be a lot better. Well, you know, with age.
So are you saying there's a little bit more to it than just picking out a cheesy Will Smith song for the opening of the show?
Oh, God, yeah. I love Will Smith. I love him, by the way. I love him. And I love the song that you chose, you know. And I love getting jiggy with it. I love it. And, you know, I find myself dancing around the room to that. So, no, I listen to everything. I listen to everything. There's nothing banned.
No, I love that you guys put so much more effort into it. I mean, it shows for sure, and so I love that connection you both have.
It's a piece of art. That's what I think.
It is. It really is.
You know, you're creating a piece of art. It's not just writing a poem.
Absolutely,
it's the whole process. You know.
No, it shows. No, I see it. We are about halfway through. So I want to give you both a chance to selflessly plug your art out there. Stelina, we'll start with you. I know that you're a member of All Poetry. Do you have any publications, or do you have any other avenues at which we can enjoy your work?
Sadly, I don't have any publications yet. But I do write short stories too. In fact, I have, I think, 5 on the story right at the moment. One I won gold for, one I won silver for, which I was very happy. I write on another forum as well, short stories. I try and get stuff out there. It's not easy, you know, because there's so much competition with this kind of thing. And I really don't want to self-publish. It might be a bit wrong of me, but I always think, well, you know, if it's going to work, someone has to choose it. that's just me, you know. So I don't really want to self-publish. And as most of you know, I don't live in the UK. I live in Malta. Malta is a very small island. It's very restricted with regards to publishing work. I really don't want to publish anything on this island because it doesn't really have a good future, if you see what I mean. It's very restricted. So, you know, I haven't really sent anything out there yet. But we, you know, watch your space. That's all I'm saying.
I say stick with it, Selena. I love it.
Yeah.
You know that no one that listens to the show has any idea where Malta is. I mean, you could tell me this in Antarctica. No one has any idea where you are in the world right now.
That's good. It's a mystery. Right. It's Malta is a very, very small island in the Med, and it lies 58 miles south of Sicily. We're quite near Sicily and Italy. So when Mount Etna erupts, Susan gets asthma, which is what happened this week, I think. The bloody thing's always erupting, you know. It's a live volcano. But, Sicily is a beautiful place. I've been several times. And so we're not far from there. And we're not far from Italy, really. So south of Italy and North Africa, we're sort of dotted in the middle, you know, so we can go anywhere, really. Yeah.
And it's your turn, Arcana. It's your turn to selflessly plug, Arcana. What do you have to offer for us? Where can we find your work?
Okay, well, I mean, in my case, from a young age, the only thing I was ever any good at was art and drawing. And when I left school, it kind of fell by the wayside. I kind of got one dead-end job after another, and it just never went anywhere. And it was in later years that I found another route for my artistic inklings to sort of find a way out, and it was through poetry. And so writing to me is a substitute for drawing and painting. And I enjoy it enormously, but I haven't published anything. And what I'm doing at the moment is, since I joined AP, there are so many talented poets on here that it's kind of like, it's almost like being an apprentice. You get to sort of like find out how other people write, use phrases, and the kind of poetic devices that they use. And it kind of rubs off a little bit. So you're constantly picking up little bits here and there as you go along. Yeah. So I'm kind of in that apprenticeship stage at the moment, where I'm trying to learn the craft and improve upon it, get known. And then maybe when I feel that I've got to that stage where the poetry is as good as I'd like it to be and I've got enough of it, then maybe I could consider publishing something. But I feel like I've got a ways to go yet.
You're certainly not an apprentice, well, darling.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
I can tell you, yes, it is the most valuable workshop ever, because I love it. And that's what the community is all about. And that's why I wanted to ask you guys, first of all, about your relationship. Yeah, absolutely. Picking up on everyone else's nuance, how they do the talents, how they walk through the work. It's a learning process. And I will tell you, Arcana, you are there. Don't be afraid. You're always going to be an apprentice, but don't be afraid to put yourself out there, because you are very talented in the work that easily what you presented tonight, but also diving into more of your work on this page. Don't be afraid to stand up, because if you don't, you never will. But yeah, no, it's always a learning process. You can always glean information, talent, nuance from other poets here at All in Poetry, and that's why I love the community so much, personally.
I always send the new poets over to him.
Perfect,
when new poets
perfect,
come
perfect.
On and they say, oh, I'm new here. And I say, right, go over to Arcana's page and read his poetry.
Perfect.
I always send them over. You know?
Thank you, Selena.
I love it, guys. Well, the next one is up by you, Selena. Pam, it's called When the Sea Turned Magenta. Soliloquy of a Survivor.
All right. Let me go ahead and look for that. And
I think I write a lot from men's perspectives.
Oh, that's really cool that you do that. Ah, here we go.
See them now, my shipmates. They still haunt my dreams. Faces grotesquely twisted in terror as the sea turned magenta. From almost 1,200 men, 900 kicking water, the Pacific Ocean swells, beating against our breasts. Our seafaring home had rolled over and died in a mere 12 minutes. Huddled together, cast adrift in the embrace of the ebony night, hearts swaying heavy, we knew we were alone. No rescue search for us. Our secret, deadly mission had sealed our doomed fates. At first light they came, feasting on the dead, as we looked on surreally, spewing our stomach contents as the macabre scene unfolded. Swarming in dozens around us, fins slicing through the water, their voracious appetites turn to the living in the grip of constant fear. Barely breathing, revolted at our own relief when they passed us by, and another of our mates sank in a maelstrom of magenta ribbons. As ghastly, unearthly screams pierced the air, we bobbed, impotent, desperate, and finally insensate as we waited our turn. Madness reflected in craven eyes, hallucinating, shouting, "Land ahoy!" Bone cold darkness, searing days one by one, the sea swallowed them, sinking to the locker in a state of euphoria, parched inside withered organs, and the sharks, omnipresent, eyes rolling in ecstasy with each kill, the taste of blood orgasmic, flesh flapping in their mighty jaws. In the grip of the reaper's hands, we floundered, waiting to be chosen. Be one of the 600 drifting who perished that fateful night, the memory of which fills my nightmares still and until my final breath of when the sea turned magenta.
I gotta say thank you for this one, because it might be because Pam took me to see Jaws on our first date, but being eaten by sharks has got to be one of my greatest fears. Pam, I've never forgotten the Steven Spielberg fear that you instilled within me, but no, this is my Halloween fear. And I love it because you take it there, Stelina. I mean, you take it there too. And my favorite line is, and another of our mates sank in a maelstrom of magenta ribbons. I like the word. I love that you use the word ribbons there because it's just, it's a feeding frenzy. And I like that you didn't even mention the fact that, it's a war-torn, overturned horror that ultimately gets eaten. And you don't even bring apart a fact about the fact that it's a shark attack until the third. And I like that because you know that that's what's going on. And it's not really in your face until the very end, into the crescendo as the intensity increases in this. So I'm going to go out on a limb, Stelina. I'm going to say that you were never in battle personally, and you weren't in some war-torn boat that got overturned and had to battle off sharks. Maybe it did happen, but the imagination, that's my question. Where is this incredible imagination to be so visceral with the description coming from? I mean, it's spot on, and I'm wondering how you take the reader's mind there so intently.
It's quite difficult to answer, really, but I've always had a very active imagination from childhood, possibly because I've always been an avid reader. I mean, I was reading before I started school, thanks to my mom, you know, and my mom was always very ill and spent a lot of time in bed. And, you know, she used to gather us, all the kids used to gather on her bed. And she used to just tell us stories and recite poetry from, you know, from her memory. We loved this. And I think this is sort of what instilled this imagination in me from a very early age. This piece, you know, it's true, I've never been in battle. I'm not old enough, of course. So, you know, I haven't experienced these things firsthand. But you know, my father, I was a late child. My father was, you know, way in his 40s when I was born. But I do remember he didn't speak about World War II that often. But you know, a couple of times he did mention some things that you know were not so nice, really, and so I don't know. I suppose it's lots of things from childhood when I was growing up, and my imagination's always been very, very keen. This piece actually was inspired by an actual event, of course. It was the sinking of the Indianapolis, I think, 1943, I think.
45,
thank you.
July 30th, 1945.
That's right. Yeah, it was July. And, you know, they were transporting the parts for the atomic bomb. And, of course, the Japanese sank the ship. And but that wasn't the end of their horror, you know. The worst thing that they had to endure was this horrific shark attack. It is the worst shark attack in history. And in fact, in Jaws there is a scene where he's describing this you know, the character Quint is describing what happened that day. But I actually watched, because when I write a poem, I like to do a bit of research into what I'm writing. And I watched a short documentary from a survivor, the only living survivor from the Indianapolis, who was in his 90s, and describing what it was like for them. And I took all that on board, you know, and I wrote it as a soliloquy in the voice of a survivor. So, and it also, the magenta thing came from, because I'm a member of Vermilion Group as well, and, you know, he puts a colour contest up every week, and I think the first one was magenta. And I thought, what the heck am I going to write about magenta? You know, and I don't know, this idea just came into it, and I thought, well, yeah, that's cool. Blood could look that colour. You know, and it just grew from there, really. I combined everything, and just worked, sort of seemed to work. It seemed to gel okay, and that was it. So there you go. That's the story of that.
That works. That works. It's a lovely answer. And you get the same one, Arcan. I mean, tell me, I assume that your life isn't filled with hell and horror, Arcana. Can you tell us where this imagination is stemmed from?
Well, I didn't say there wasn't any hell. I have been through one divorce, so I wouldn't necessarily say that's true. But no, I mean, the thing is, it's like when you're sort of writing about something, it's kind of like being an actor. You know, an actor will go away and they'll learn their lines and get into the part. And it's kind of the same with poetry, especially when you're putting a SoundCloud together. You know, you're trying to take yourself and put yourself in that position. And that's where the imagination kicks in, because you're actually recreating that whole situation and kind of imagining how you would feel if you was in that situation yourself. So it's coming from inside as well, as well as what you've read and heard about it.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think it is a, you know, I often think that both of us should be on the stage, to be honest. You know, that we're pretty good actors. And, you know, so I do agree with what he said. You know, I've had lots of bad things happen to me in my life, and you do draw on those things too, as well as other things, you know. So it's a mixture of everything. I agree with him completely.
Great answers, guys. Yeah, no, great answers. I love how you both approach that. Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I really liked this one because it was a different kind of darkness. And even before listening to your conversations and Stelina's answer, you could see the reality of this. Like, I didn't know it was based on a true event in history, but I knew that it had to have some truth to it, because we all know that ships have sunk, that shark attacks have happened, you know. And what I really particularly like about this, you know, it's got great imagery in it, it's wonderful dark storytelling, is that you bring to us the reality of nature, which is beautiful, but is also just horrifying and deadly. And the other two themes that I see in this that I really like, and I think you brought it out really well by choosing to do the form of a soliloquy, is you write to me about survivor's guilt and feeling like, why was I the one to survive? And I really like that you captured that. So this is definitely a powerful write and a great performance by Arcana. And you know what? I think
I'm Thank you.
Yes, wasn't it? Absolutely. I am going to kind of steal an idea from Jeremy, only I'm going to try to make it work for the Halloween theme, because Jeremy likes to ask people, if you had a casserole dish and you were filling it up with the ingredients of your poetry, what would it be filled up with? So instead, I'm going to ask you both, if you were passing out treats and tricks to people knocking on your door on Halloween night, what treats and tricks would you be passing out that would represent your poetry? And we're going to start with Arcana and then move to Stelina.
Thanks for that, Pam. Okay.
You're welcome.
What kind of... let me just think on that for a minute. What kind of treat would I hand out? Okay. My treat would be that they would walk away and they'd still be alive. And my trick would be that I might just end up giving them a little bite on the neck.
Oh, yes, please.
There you
Immortality. What more could we want? More time to write. Yeah.
And how about you, Stelina?
Oh, God, what a question. A treat. Okay. Well, I'd probably like bake them some nice cookies with, you know, a little bit of weed in. for the treat. the trick. Oh, well, that's a hard one really for me. I don't think I've got an answer because I've got so many answers. Yeah, and I mean, no, I don't have the fangs for the bite. So, you know, maybe a little bit of flagellation or something. I don't know. I don't know, really. A little bit of, you know, get the old whip out and that's it. Yeah. So they either go away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great answers, guys. Great question, Pam.
If any children are listening, don't listen. But that's it.
Don't go Great. Knocking on Selena's door at Halloween unless you're into
the door arcade.
And want a good
excuse me.
I love it, guys. Great question, Pam. Voodoo hoodoo is up and ready when you can pull it up, Pam. We're ready.
Get your dancing shoes on.
All right.
Here we go.
Papa Legba smiles down with a nod of approval, granting communication with the spirit world, balancing the scales of life and death. His ember-red eyes stare from a grey-white face, painted as a skull beneath long black dreadlocks. The gatekeeper unlocks doors to other domains, preparing the ceremony with somber blessing. The path of survival and destiny must be walked, paying tribute to deities they seek to speak. The hoodoo gather obediently to their calling. Hypnotic rhythms writhe in fervid tempest, inviting trance-induced storms of frantic frenzy. An irresistible mantra of melodious rhapsody that swallows the mind in manipulative magic, drowned in the throb of beating drums. Papa Dambala entwines his serpent's caress, called forth from the depths of deepest seas, invoking those spirits who protect the gates. Possessed of Loire, the mesmerized dance wildly to attain the blessing of a sweetened path. The mambo chants to the rhythm of life, in mesmerized minds of involuntary sway. Those who serve the spirits shall not fall, as the pulse echoes the realm of the dead. Baron Samedi watches on from the shadows. A ritualistic tempo incites wanton abandon, conjuring with cadence the pantheon of the Loire. As the snake constricts around the rainbow, eyes glaze in unconscious derelict desertion, shaking and trembling to the beat of the Boala.
Great Go ahead, Pam. I know you're shaking your hips, but go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, I'm just
going to,
I bet you're shimmying around the room.
I am. I'm not just, yeah, I'm all over the place. I'm practically doing a, like, rain dance here.
Yeah, me too. I was like that when I listened to it. I said to him, you've got me beat boogieing around the room to this. The beat's great.
Yeah, this is absolutely, absolutely. I liked this very much. Wonderful imagery. Wonderful tribute to the history and the mythology of the Voodooism religion. I like that you don't. This to me looks at the spirituality of the religion rather than looking at some of the like a lot of times I think when you see movies and sometimes books that have voodoo in it, it's very almost corny. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, like with this kind of idea, you're always seeing people, you know, cutting chickens and rather than looking into the mythology, the deeper part of it, of, you know, as you mentioned here, you mentioned Papa Legba, you mentioned the gatekeeper, the rainbow and the serpent and the mythological figures and the symbolism that are behind this religion. And so I really have to appreciate that. This definitely has strong imagery. It's very thoughtful in the way that it's done. Now, I know that earlier you said you didn't do a whole lot of reading before of classic poets, but you did mention Poe. And I'm wondering, besides Poe, is there any other like authors or classic authors or classic poets that have been an influence on you?
I'd have to cite William Blake. William Blake and Shelley. I'm kind of, like I said, I'm not well read on other poets. I tend to sort of, I like to sort of try and keep a certain perspective on things that's my own, rather than being too heavily influenced by what others have said and read. So I've got the greatest of respect for some of the particular pieces that I have read, particularly by poets like Poe. To me, this particular piece, I mean, I don't really know if that would be even fall into that kind of category. It's kind of more an observation, if you like. And you're spot on what you say, Pam. I wanted to steer clear of the negativity side that's portrayed quite often. And sort of try and keep it a little bit lighter and make it more about the sort of thoughts and ideas and what goes actually behind all this, because that's just one aspect of it. Behind all that, there's actually a religion that people follow. And, you know, I want to sort of be respectful towards that. Whether I agree with it or not is another matter, but I want to show respect and pay that respect to them, which I've tried to do with this poem.
Very cool.
Thank you.
And I want to say, and this goes to both of you. I mean, I'm going to assume hubrisly, Stellina, that you're in tune with a lot of what I'm kind of saying. But you don't have to be well-read, buddy. And I know exactly what you're saying. When I first started into poetry, I go, I don't want to read anybody else because I don't want to be influenced. I want to be my own nugget out there in the world, and I want to be true to my own form. And you are, man. You are. So don't be afraid. Don't be apologetic. Don't be afraid to read the greats. Use them. Don't use them. You have your own style. You both do. I mean, you both are amazing poets in what you guys are producing, just in what we're seeing tonight. So never be apologetic for seeing or reading or anything else or diving into it for as deep as you want. But I really like that answer, Arcana, because I know the feeling of it. I think it's really cool. And I like Pam's question as well, because voodoo and all of that kind of baloney, it is cheesy from an outsider's perspective. But what I like about this poem is, without knowing anything about what you're talking about, Arcana, the Papa Legba, the move that I really like was magic with a K in the third, the Papa Dimbala, all this language that means or possessed of Lua, all of this stuff that doesn't mean anything to me still brought me into the culture. And that's what made it spooky. That's what made it authentic. That's what made it tangible, tasteful, and had me puckering a bit. You don't have to explain it. All you have to do is name it. And Pam, you remember the other week when we were talking about bringing in personal names into poetry and how it brings it in and it makes – yeah, it's the same with this, right? He's naming a culture, a feeling, a cult. There's nothing scarier than a cult. But you don't feel the cult until you're in the cult. And that's what he did in this poem. He brought us in and made us feel part of something without explanation. And you don't need explanation. You get the feel. And I don't know. I like that. I like that about this whole thing because, yeah, otherwise, voodoo is cheesy. I'll thumb my nose at it. But if I read it and you start naming it and you start making me part of it and you give me ownership as a reader – yeah, that's scaring the shit out of me. Yeah, well done. Happy Halloween, Arcana.
Thanks, Jeremy.
So my question, we haven't done this. We haven't done this with either of you, and I'm going to start with you, Arcana, is tell me about your process. When you sit down to write a poem, are you sitting down and talk about, are you sitting at a keyboard? Are you writing it in pencil? What is your process of composing a poem? How does that look?
It kind of depends where the muse is coming from. I mean, if I'm writing to a prompt, then sometimes I'll just kind of go with the flow and freestyle. If I'm writing about something that I'm not completely familiar with, then just like Stellina, I may choose to sort of read up on it a little bit and try and bring a part of that into it to give it some authenticity. There was an element of that with this piece. Obviously, I'm not actually into voodoo myself, but hey, you know, each to their own. That's kind of where I was coming from with this, and that's how I approach poetry when I'm writing. It's just something that sort of comes from inside. I mean, it's a difficult thing to explain. You'll know this, Jeremy. You'll know this, Pam. You'll know this, Stellina. You know, to identify, it comes from so many different places. It can be a visual prompt. It can be something that's in the back of your mind. It could be something that you just hear or see suddenly that has a subliminal trigger to it that sort of makes you think, oh, yeah, yeah. It could even be just a word, you know. Anything can happen through day-to-day interactions, and suddenly something sticks and you think, yeah, that kind of inspires me. I think I'm going to go with that. And depending on what it is, you'll either just let it flow from within or, you, like I say, you might choose to do a little bit of homework on it. But either way, at the end of the day, it comes back to what we were saying before about with a soliloquy that Stellina wrote. You know, you're kind of putting yourself in the position of something else or someone else and imagining how you would react in that situation. And that's kind of where it's at.
I love it. Stellina, your turn. Tell me about your process, please.
Well, it's sort of similar, but, you know, sometimes I wrote a poem in the supermarket the other day when I was having a coffee, you know, on an envelope. So it just when you're in your head, you have to get it down. So I've always got like a paper and a pen in my bag, you know, for when that happens. But I also put a lot of value on language in my poems. And so when I decide to write something, I often start off when I have the theme, you know, or the prompt or whatever it is, I often start thinking about words that would go into this poem or phrases that would go into this poem or this story or whatever. And I always try to put a new word in every poem. I'm a bit obsessive with this because I hate the thought of using the same old words over and over again. And, you know, I always try. I mean, I have one up tonight. Probably we won't hear it, a sea storm at night. And, you know, I think that's the only poem that I've ever used the word foment in. So, you know, I try to use new language. So the part of the process is definitely the language for me. I'm an English teacher. I mean, it goes with the territory. You know what I mean? So I've always loved, I mean, I speak several languages as well, and I've always loved language and words. So it's part of me. But yeah, I mean, as far as the things I know is correct, you know, sometimes I have to research a bit. Sometimes it just comes from within. A lot of my love poetry just comes from experiences and feelings from within me, you know. And sort of that's how it is generally. I think more or less the same with most of us, to be honest.
I love that. I love that answer on so many levels, Delina, because I am the king of awkward. I will be, because small talk makes me giggle, and I always like to put people on edge in small talk. And so if someone's saying something, no matter what they're telling me about, and they say something, and they say a good word, I interrupt them, and I say, that's a great word. And I love that. I mean, I've even done it tonight. When you guys, in your poetry, because I've been so enthralled by the language that you guys have employed tonight, that I've been writing down words that I want to employ in my poetry. So I like the fact that you're doing that too, Stelina, because
take them with my blessing.
It's a fun little collection. No, it's the love of language. And to be a poet, to in my opinion, to be a poet and really appreciate what the art is all about, you have to love language. You have to love words, and you have to play with them. And you have to dive into them, and you have to get dirty with them at times. So, yeah, I love that answer.
Yeah, it can be tiring, you know, when you're using the same word over. I find myself
exactly.
And I think, oh, I've used this word so many blinking times. I don't want it. You know,
snap, I'm the same.
Yeah, I think
I'm the same too.
Like
no, I'm with you, Arcana. No, I'm the same. If I have the raw, if I do it too many times, and I go back over my old poems. And if I see the same words or the same phrasing over and over again, I go, that guy needs to shut up and needs to branch out. No, I agree with you. I love that. So your next poem, Stelina, Child of the Moon, Pam, is up and ready when you are.
Oh. On the advent of the full rising moon, in its blue-tinted caress, an eerie silhouette, stark, unearthly bane disgorged from its throat, parched for the quaff of scarlet sweetness, stalks the veiled forest. As the transformation invades him, with Tartarian tremors, and twists, bones cracking and contorting into their lycanthrope contours. Torturous transfiguration sweeps throughout his body. Dagger-like fangs emerge from his drool-dripping mouth, with thick spines of hair sprouting from every oozing pore. Like burning needles, searing his human flesh like hot razors, he rears up on his hind quarters. Bathing in the pearlescent lake, soft, full, pink-tipped pertness spill out. Yellow eyes gleaming at the sight, lubriciously leering, he lunges. Screams die in her throat as he buries himself in her beauty. Bewitched, she is wanton and willing for the taste of lupine love. His eyes turn red as his craving is fulfilled with her fresh, warm heart. Then, as the moon wanes, the macabre mutation ebbs away. Beneath his weight, hollow skin, with crazed eyes, stares up at him. Roughly hewn, yet provocative, he slumps, bone-weary, consumed, drinking greedily to replenish his sap, his appetite for bloodlust sated. A child of the moon, in repose until night falls once more.
You know, to kind of satisfy my own guilt, I will tell you to your face that I am the biggest thief here at All Poetry, and I will unabashedly steal your lines and claim them as my own. So I'm going to tell you right now that you have two lines in here that I'm going to tell everybody in the world that I wrote myself, because they are so great. As the transformation invades him with the Tartarian tremors and twists. I love that. And I also love the first and the second. Bathing in the pearlescent lake, soft, full, pink-tipped, pertness, spill. I love how you put these. There are so many words in this poem that they're just so luscious. I don't know. It's so dark, but yet, you know what? As a lyricist, as anyone that loves words, I just want to kind of bathe around it. Pam, if anyone knows that I love the AP hot tub, and what you've done here, Selena, is you have added an extra jet that I am claiming right now, because the words are beautiful in this. It's fun. It's
Thank
so much
you.
Fun. I love
Thanks.
It.
Naomi likes it a lot, this one.
No, it's a cornucopia. I mean, it's all the words that you just want to kind of squeeze and get the juice out of, and I love that. I love the poetic value of all of that. So give us all some advice. All of us who are aspiring poets, what can you tell us to do to better our craft?
Well, I think, one or two poets on AP, the new ones, that have come along, you know, have come to me and they've said, look, you know, I've read one or two of your pieces and, you know, how do you write these things? How do you, you know, and then they ask me to look at theirs, you know, and they say, look, you know, everybody has their own style and their own way of expressing themselves. I can only tell you for me what's important. And I think, again, we're going back to the words, you know. For me, the words make the poem. The words, the feeling too, of course, and the theme. But the words to come along, you know. Can't leave them behind. They have to come along on the journey. And the choice of words, the words that you choose to fill your line, to express whatever is happening in the poem, for me is really important. So I would say to anyone, you know, increase your word power, first of all. Try to learn new words. I mean, don't go mad, you know, and put a lot of pompous sounding things in it. But, you know, take a word here and there and try and put it in a poem. You know, at some point, I mean, I don't go overboard. I don't fill my poems with, you know, purple prose and stacks of words that people don't understand. But you know, occasionally I like to pick one out and think, right, let's throw this one into the mix and see what happens. And I think, you know, apart from all the other things we've said tonight about imagination and, you know, where you get your sort of inspiration from, I think the words, the language is also ultimately at the core of a good poem. For me, anyway, it's only my opinion, you know, but that's really what I would advise people to do. Try and learn, you know, some more words, some nice phrases to throw in there. throw them in and see what happens. Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's why we're paying you to be here tonight, Selena, is because we want your opinion. We want your advice. Absolutely, we're paying you.
And I'm waiting for the check there.
Absolutely. Oh, it's a huge check. Arcanum, what is your advice, please?
Okay, well, depending on what sort of poem you're writing, first of all, if you're writing rhyming poetry, never, ever use a word at the end of a line that you're going to struggle with in the next line to rhyme with.
Yeah.
If you've kind of gone there and you've written something and you're thinking, now what the hell am I going to use with that? Don't. Just take a step back from it and look at it from a different angle and try and use a different word. Like Stelina said, that's why words can be key. Find a different word that's easier to rhyme with and substitute that instead. Also, particularly with rhyme more so, always make sure you read it back to yourself. Check how the syllables fall in line so that you've got some kind of cadence going on with it. And never just write a poem and leave it as finished. Always go back to it. Always give it at least two or three looks over and read it to yourself or read it aloud and make sure that you've not got any spelling mistakes or grammatical mistakes in there, because little things like that can sometimes ruin a really, really good poem. So that, and obviously, just as Stelina said, I completely agree with her, you know, read what other poets are writing, look at some of the language they're using, particularly Stelina. I mean, with Stelina, she's always got me Googling, what the hell was that?
I hope you enjoy Googling yourself.
You know I love Googling. it's good because you're learning something as you go along. Not only learning poetry, but you're also learning a better command of the English language. So, yeah, it's good. And that's my advice, basically.
Wonderful advice. I love it. Pam, your comments.
Yeah, so, well, first of all, I think they've both just given brilliant advice that I think all poets and authors could use, especially newer ones. You know, second of all, I would like to say, Stelina, that I'm very impressed that you got Arcana to pose for that painting that you wrote to.
Yeah, it was a tough call, you know. But, you know, you can persuade him to do most things.
Yeah, I wish you caught me on my good, side, though.
It looks like a pretty good side to me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But no, this is a wonderful Dark Central, right? You know, I always enjoy a good werewolf story. I like that. Well, to me, I'm very picky about dark sensuality. I'm picky about sensuality anyways, but especially dark, because people don't seem to understand. And this is my little tirade, is that there's more rules to dark sensuality in my mind, and I hope other people's minds, you know, that you have to have, it's almost like having one of those scales where, you know, things have to be balanced out.
Yeah.
You want it to be obviously dark, and yet you don't want it to be so dark that you leave out the sensuality. And you've managed to balance very well in this, right, with your choice of phrasing and imagery, you know, especially, you know, as you get into, you know, the first part with being disgorged from its throat, parched with a quaff of scarlet sweetness stalks the veiled forest, and then the second stanza with bathing in the pearlescent lake, soft full pink-tipped pertness still out. And as I don't have a question with this, right, but I would like to commend you on your ability to create that balance that is needed in dark sensuality.
Thank you.
So very
thank you. I like sensual pieces, and as well, I've written quite a few. And this piece was for The Art of Seduction, actually, for Gray's contest. So his Art of Seduction contest with werewolves and vampires, you know. So we had to throw the seduction in there. I could have done it without, but, you know, because he'd caught the contest call for it. But, I think with seduction, you mean that you don't cross, you know. And I think you the best thing to do with it is to lead the reader up to the moment and let them do the rest. You know, you have to use the imagery. Yeah. You know, because once you've crossed that line, it's crass. You know, it's not classy anymore. Not for me, anyway.
Well said, so.
Thank you, dear. He says he can't write sensual. I disagree with him very much.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
But he can do it. He says he can't, but he can.
All
What's
right,
your then, effect then? On me, Selena?
Thank you very much.
I think we got time for one more, Pammy. I think Duality of Darkness, we can still get under the radar.
All right. Let me just go ahead and find that, and here we go.
Duality is the bane of my relentless plight. I seek to understand the dormant beast within. My scientific curiosity delves my inner darkness. Locked in a battle of conscience between dueling personalities, each wrestling for control of my tortured spirit. Yet, I am compelled to persist and discover who will prevail. Ah, the streets call me. The taste of tender flesh like an opiate. To take at my will, to feel them feebly writhing beneath me. As I quench my insatiable lust on their pale sweetness. But my thirst for blood then howls with primeval senses, and the slice, gouge and spurt of crimson upon my hands. Stirs my own blood like a frenzied cocktail. My nemesis, this deranged demon, delving into deep depravity, woos me with demented desires that I cannot overcome. And much to my self-disgust, lures me into putrid pleasure, while I, the good doctor, struggle with some semblance of sanity. So tired am I of this lecherous Lothario, who relishes acts of iniquity in the shadows. Haunting these abysmal alleys, taunting me to quaff the potion which corrupts.
My pathetic weakness sickens me with mewling murmurs of decency. I am the truly dominant persona of this simpering saintly fool, for I know the drooling delight of absolute sensual freedom. he cannot judge me, nor condemn me, without sentencing himself. My deeds are only those of a man who plays by no rules. In this sordid society of fragile, hypocritical virtue, seeking release from tethers of respect, my stained and blighted soul rampantly roams with remorseful abandon upon this weary, worrisome world, murdering and debauching, devoid of discernment. He thinks he can seize control of me with his feeble potions, but my malevolence is already spreading inside his veins, within each beat of his pitiful, pleading heart.
The borders between the realms have blurred into oblivion now. The futility of this baneful existence plagues every waking thought. Evil has devoured what remained of the good doctor, which is now a contorted figment of what used to be. Thus, as I drink the bittersweet release of poison, I know that my secret will not die with me, for I am he.
And he is me!
I was dying for it to end like that. I was dying for that last line to be read like that. How perfect. Well done, well done. Pam, start us off, please.
Oh, this is a great way to end the show. This is epic darkness. I love how you did the classic tale of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and really added the emotive element that it needs. The back and forth struggle of the good and evil in us, and the it's a very relatable rite, even though it's dramatic, and it's based on a classic story, and yet you write it in such a way that it reminds us of how we really truly battle with ourselves. And I think, again, this is just a wonderfully flawless collaboration, a brilliant writing by both of you. I love seeing how much fun the two of you have together, playing with words, writing with each other. I mean, it's just awesome. And it's been a great show tonight with both of you. So
thank you very
stellar
much.
Writing and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Yeah, and I want to pile on because I want to be – whatever I need to do, whatever I need to pay to get into this clique that you two have, I will do it because you two are an incredible pair.
We're very expensive.
I'll pay it. You guys have something special. You guys compliment each other magnificently. I very much am humbled by your presence tonight on the on the Headliners Ball. There's no better way to celebrate
it's
Halloween.
It's our pleasure to be here, really.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, you both are incredibly talented. It has been a pleasure. I love the conversation. I love everything you have to offer. And, Stelina, I will start with you. Do you have any words that you would like to sign us off with? And then I'll go to
First of all, thank you for, as Arcana says, thank you very much for the invite, and many thanks, and many hugs and kisses to my partner there, because, what we create together is a joy for me, really. His company is always a pleasure, and I thoroughly enjoy writing with him, thoroughly.
Oh, thank you, Stelina.
You guys do it well. And Arcana, go ahead and sign us off for the evening, please.
Well, I'd just like to say, as I had said before, thank you so much for inviting us both onto the show tonight. It's been a real blast. And writing with Stelina is an absolute dream. She's the dream partner to write poetry with for me. And I hope that we have many more poems that we share together, that perhaps we can come on another show sometime and share with you.
Oh, yes.
And I'd like to also take this opportunity for the forthcoming event to wish everybody a very happy Halloween.
Yes.
And thanks again to everyone. And thank you, Pam, as well, for your input and for the thoughtful questions you've given us.
Yes, I agree. Nice questions from both of you. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you both. Good evening. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. Goodbye.
Happy Halloween. Bye-bye.